How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Just the Boys Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm your host, Daniel.
And today we're doing a podcast. Woo! If you're new to the channel, please smash the subscribe button, hit the like button, and comment what you guys want us to talk about next week. As you can see throughout this video, we took your suggestions from last week and we're talking about it this week. And if this video gets 3,000 likes, we'll be giving away a hot toy of your choice. Hot toys are these highly collectible, you know, like there's a bunch of different properties, but basically comment which one you like. And if this video gets 3,000 likes, we'll pick one of the comments and send you guys a hot toy.
Yeah.
So let's get into the podcast.
Let's get into it.
So usually Dan does a segment where he talks about verses, right? Where he combines two different things. And this time I'm going to be the one to tell you two different things. And let's see how it goes.
Let's do this.
My thought process behind this whole thing was at first it was going to be drinks. And then I realized, you know what? I'm just going to do childhood drinks and snacks.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Capri Sun versus Kool-Aid Jammers. Now, for those who don't know, Kool-Aid Jammers were pouched Kool-Aid.
Ooh.
Capri Sun versus Kool-Aid Jammers.
You know, I think I'm going to go Capri Sun because Capri Sun is the juice I had most as a kid. But the reason I think I didn't have a lot of Kool-Aid is because it was so much more sugary than Capri Sun.
Out of all the Capri Sun flavors, what was your favorite Capri Sun flavor?
You got to go either Fruit Punch or Strawberry Kiwi.
Yeah, Strawberry Kiwi was really good.
Oh my gosh, so good. All right, you ever just stab it and not use the straw and you just like,
Yeah. Just suck it.
Yeah.
Just suck it right out of the hole.
Sure.
Gatorade versus Powerade.
Oh, Gatorade. I drank more Gatorade than I did Powerade.
But, that's fair.
You know, I think it would have been pretty even if I had more Powerade. Powerade didn't seem as accessible as Gatorade.
Okay. Well, I mean, we grew up in the same household and I could tell you, hands down, Powerade is better.
What?
Yeah.
Wait.
Let me tell you something.
Hang on.
No, I'm going to explain to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So when you have Gatorade, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but it creates a lot of mucus for me after I drink it.
Oh, like the lemon lime.
No, it doesn't matter.
Really?
Yeah, you give me any of the flavors, I'll have mucus afterwards. So for me, when I would drink Powerade, I never felt that.
Oh.
So it's more enjoyable when I don't have a bunch of mucus afterwards.
That's true. I wonder if Powerade has less sugar, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, there's definitely sugar in it, but I know that when I drink Gatorade, specifically the blue one and the yellow one, I do have a lot of mucus afterwards.
Interesting. I do feel that with the yellow.
You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, yeah.
So, but you're going to stay true to your answer?
No, I just don't drink the yellow.
That's fair.
But you know what? I did see someone say this about Gatorade. When they're packaging Gatorade, and when they're like putting it in the bottle,
okay,
it's boiling hot when they're packaging it. So when they're packaging it in a boiling hot temperature and they put it in a plastic bottle.
Oh, yeah. There's a bunch of plastic in it probably.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
So wait.
I don't know how factual that is. I saw someone say it and it got me thinking.
It got you thinking.
Got me thinking.
That I still like Gatorade.
Yeah.
Nice. Propel versus vitamin water.
Oh, ooh, that's a good one.
It is a good one.
That's a tough one though. I'm going to go with vitamin water because I still drink vitamin water to this day and I haven't seen much Propel.
I know. I think Propel, I mean, when we were kids, like 8 to 10 years old, Propel was very popular.
Oh yeah.
Hot summer day in the summer, you would drink Propel.
Oh yeah.
Because it was found to have less sugar,
right?
More like water, less food coloring or whatever, artificial coloring.
But vitamin water just hits different.
It is. Let me ask you this. What is your favorite vitamin water flavor?
Okay. I don't know why they call it this. It's like the triple X.
You like that one the best?
That one's good. Or I forgot what the pink one is.
Revive?
It's like,
it's like purple.
Yeah. I'm colorblind. I don't.
Yeah, I guess it's all the same to you, huh? Hawaiian Punch versus Kool-Aid.
Oh, Hawaiian Punch. Hawaiian Punch, for sure. I mean, Kool-Aid's good. I do like Kool-Aid. Like, I really like Kool-Aid a lot. But I think I'm going to go Hawaiian Punch.
Because explain it.
Okay, the red Hawaiian Punch is good, the blue Hawaiian Punch is good, but every time I have Hawaiian Punch, okay, it just hits different. When you have Hawaiian Punch in a can, that is different. When you don't get Kool-Aid in a can, okay, you've never seen it. No, I've never
seen it. Are you telling me I've never seen it?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen it.
I've also, so when I have Hawaiian Punch in a can,
uh-huh,
something about it, man, that's just
that metallic taste, huh?
Yeah,
just gets you every time.
It just gets me. But they also sell those like big gallons of it.
Yeah.
I don't see big gallons of Kool-Aid.
I feel like there is, Daniel.
I've never seen it.
I know that Kool-Aid, what's great about Kool-Aid is I like how it comes in powder. It was such a cool concept when I was younger. The idea that you could have a water bottle with just water, and then if you want to spice it up a little bit, you just pour the powder in.
That is true.
Hawaiian Punch, I mean, it's great,
right?
But there's so much sugar. I'm not saying Kool-Aid doesn't,
okay?
But I'm just saying that I think that Kool-Aid tastes, even though it was powder, it tastes a little less, what's the word? There's like less chemicals in
it. Like synthetic?
Yeah, it was just very, since the water dilutes it, it's better for me. But Hawaiian Punch, I get it. I had my share of a lot of Hawaiian Punch growing up in the can.
Yeah, I do agree. It's just pure sugar.
Yeah, but stay. You
no.
Hold
on to your, yeah. I am staying loyal to my answer, but like I know it's straight sugar.
Yeah. Okay. Sunny D versus apple juice.
Oh. Ooh.
Now, I get it. I'm giving a specific type of orange juice, right?
Yeah.
But let's be honest, that's not orange juice. It's better not than orange juice.
Yeah.
Apple juice. I'll let you pick any apple juice brand you want to compare it to Sunny D. But you have to pick one or the other.
Wow. I have to go apple juice. I think Mott's apple juice. I just have to go with apple juice. Okay. Sunny D is great. It's really good.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm never like, I really want a Sunny D right now. But there's been times where I'm like, I really just feel like a nice glass of apple juice.
What do you feel pairs well with apple juice? What foods do you like to eat apple juice? Or give me a setting when apple juice is very appropriate for your life right now.
Oh, man. There's
Tell me. You know, you're talking about having these moments where you crave it. When do you crave it?
It's just random. I'll just say.
Relaxing on the couch, all of a sudden you want apple juice?
Or like, even if we'll go to like a nice restaurant, I don't even care about, you know, like soda or anything. I just ask for apple juice.
Yeah. So you like Mott's apple juice the best?
I think so, yeah. Or the one with the bottle that looks like an apple. That's actually, it's actually good
TikTok
apple juice.
The TikTok trend one where you got it.
Like, it's actually pretty good apple juice. Now, Sunny D, okay? You can't drink a lot of it.
That's fair.
You really can't. For me, a bottle is too much. Like, I don't even think I could finish a Sunny D bottle.
It is funny how when you look at portion sizes for Sunny D, they do sell it very small packages, right? The bottles are very small usually. Yeah. Yes, they have their big one, but majority of the time, it's the small bottles.
Right.
Because there's so much sugar in them.
Yeah. The only thing I really do like about Sunny D, it does taste good, but their packaging is really cool.
Yeah, let's move on. Okay, so Yoo-hoo chocolate milk or Nesquik chocolate milk?
Nesquik. You know, I haven't had much Yoo-hoo.
I saw a video where a guy just poured like chocolate syrup in water and shook it up, and that's Yoo-hoo.
Oh.
So, I don't blame you.
So, yeah, I think Nesquik then.
Regular milk versus oat milk.
Regular milk.
Really?
I don't think I've had much oat milk.
Oat milk for me, I think oat milk is sweeter.
Sweeter?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what makes it sweeter.
I need to try more oat milk, then.
Strawberry milk versus chocolate milk.
Strawberry milk. I love strawberry milk. People make fun of me for it, but I love strawberry milk.
Why do they make fun of you for it?
Because they think it's, like, weak. I don't know. They think it's, like, weird that I like strawberry milk. But it's like, dude, strawberry milk is good. It's phenomenal. If you don't like strawberry milk, get out of here.
Get out of here.
Strawberry milk is it. We need to normalize drinking strawberry milk because it is good.
I feel like it is pretty normal because it's one of the highest selling types of milk.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't like strawberry milk, I feel like.
You're just traumatized, maybe, from bullies. Next question. Dasani water versus Nestle's water.
Ooh.
Pure Life, to be exact.
You know, Nestle, I think it has a more pure taste.
You think so?
Dasani, it's got a little bit of, it's, you can tell when you're drinking Dasani, right?
Yeah, it has that distinct aftertaste.
But now if you put the Nestle Pure Life water right in front of me, and you didn't tell me it's Nestle Pure Water, I would just think it's water. But once you put Dasani in front of me without a label, I know it's Dasani.
Yeah, isn't that weird how you can tell, huh? People can tell the difference.
I also can tell when I'm drinking Arrowhead. I really
tastes
don't
like plastic.
I don't like Arrowhead.
Yeah, it tastes like plastic.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Boba, any type of boba,
ooh,
versus a milkshake. A good milkshake.
Ooh.
Think about the best boba you've had versus the best milkshake you had, and you got to pick one or the other.
And we're just talking about the boba, like the quality of the ball.
No, we're talking about the balls mixed with the milk tea, like the whole thing.
Oh, the balls and the drink.
Yeah.
Or versus a very good milkshake. I'm going to go boba.
Really?
Yeah. As much as I like ice cream, like I go to a boba shop, right? They have like ice cream milkshake drinks.
Sure.
But I usually pick the Thai tea over that.
Right, because you're not going for a milkshake. You're going there for boba.
Right.
Milk
but
tea.
You, on the other hand, will go for that cookies and cream milkshake.
But I don't get boba in it. I don't feel like boba belongs in a milkshake. I'm putting it out
there. Yeah, no, I don't think so either.
So when I go there,
sure,
I'll get the milkshake.
Right.
Right. And I will get no boba. And my answer to this question would be milkshake over boba. I feel like.
I guess I don't really get boba in my drinks all the time, though. So I guess it would make sense for me to go milkshake. Because I don't always get. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I don't always get boba. So I'm usually just getting like the Thai tea or the milk tea.
So what you're saying though is you prefer the Thai tea over a milkshake.
Right.
Which I think is just baloney. My reason is this, okay? Because this is debate.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right? I feel like there's maybe like on one hand, I can count the number of ways to make a milk tea.
Okay.
A Thai milk tea, right?
Okay.
You have Thai milk tea from one place, right?
Right.
And say it's the best place you've ever had it.
Okay.
Now you go to another place.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All you're going to think is, did it match the first time I had it, or is it not as good? There's never a time when it surpasses it, in my opinion.
What?
I feel like you really can't mess it up. It's all the same to me.
Yeah, okay, you can't mess it up, but right. You can mess up a milkshake.
That's what I'm trying to get at. That's why I feel like Thai milk tea, it's all BS to me, because it's all the same, okay? Milkshakes, there's variations, right? You can have little, the way you blend it, the way you, how much ice cream you add, the extra like additives, it changes things. Okay, you go to a boba shop, yeah. You go to three different boba shops. Okay. You order Thai milk tea.
Right.
They're all going to taste about the same.
Wouldn't you rather have something that's consistently good than rather have taking the risk of something that could be potentially bad?
Well, what I'm trying to say is it could outdo itself.
No.
Milkshakes are better.
Think about that. Wouldn't you rather have something that's consistently good that you know what you're going to get, okay? Or would you rather take the risk of it being above or also below your standard?
Yeah, because I feel like there's a chance that it could always be better. What I'm trying to say is there's variation, right?
There's variation, but there's also variation to be bad, but as opposed to not taking a risk of being bad.
No.
Let me
tell you something, though. Let me be 100% honest with you, okay? A bad milkshake. Let me tell you something. A bad milkshake versus a bad Thai milk tea. Let me tell you.
I haven't had a bad Thai milk
tea. No. I have. And it can be different. It could be bad. Bro. Okay. A bad milkshake is always pretty good.
Nah.
A bad Thai milk tea, dude, I'll take two sips and I'm throwing it away.
Let me tell you something. There's been bad milkshakes where it's like just very frothy. Okay. It's not even ice cream. Doesn't even taste like ice cream. Doesn't even taste like melted ice cream. It's just froth.
Where?
In-N-Out.
Dude, In-N-Out's milkshakes are always good.
Yeah, but sometimes they're hit or miss.
I don't know.
There's some frothy ones out there.
You should ask Yes Culture, get a new one.
Telling you.
All right, moving on. Ketchup versus mustard.
This is actually kind of a hard one for me. Because you know what? Now that I'm older, my taste buds have changed. Mustard.
When have you used mustard?
I put mustard on everything.
For the longest time, you put ketchup on everything.
I know. I put mustard on everything now. Dude, I put mustard on my pizza.
Okay, that's gross. Moving on. Baby bottle pop versus ring pop.
Ooh. Ring pop. Baby bottle pop could get a little messy.
That's fair. Pirate booty versus cheese balls.
Oh, pirate booty.
Really?
Pirate booty.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Cheese balls?
Yeah. In like the big barrels.
Yeah.
Yeah, pirate booty. All right. Come on.
Gushers versus fruit roll-up.
Gushers. Easy.
Scooby Snacks versus Teddy Grahams.
Oh, Scooby Snacks.
Go-Gurt versus Danimals.
Danimals. Those Crush Cups are different. You know those Crush Cups are different. You know what?
You know, for me, though, I prefer the Go-Gurt.
Yeah.
Just because you could freeze them, and it kind of gives you the ice cream frozen yogurt.
That is something we did as kids.
It was truly the original frozen yogurt before we had, like, Pinkberry and Yogurtland.
I honestly think a frozen Go-Gurt is better than frozen yogurt.
Yeah, and it's better than Danimals, too.
Okay, wait, but you got to think about it like this. Danimals has got, like, that smoothie drink.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
But you want to tell you something about Go-Gurt?
Yeah.
It gives you the option to have the best of both worlds. It starts off like an ice cream. Then it slowly starts to melt. And then you get that Go-Gurt, you know, you get that Danimals.
No. It's not Danimals. Okay. It's thicker than Danimals. Danimals was very, very viscous, very, very thin, very light.
All right. He's bringing up the big words now.
See, Go-Gurt, okay, it's thick.
Sure.
When it's melted.
Right.
Danimals, it's a drink.
Oh, I don't know about that, Daniel.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it's thicker.
No. Danimals was a drink. It's
sure,
a drink.
Sure. But
they
I think
sell
Go-Gurt
it in a bottle.
When you have Go-Gurt at the ideal temperature that they wanted people to buy it at.
Right.
It's like Danimals.
No.
I'm telling you right now, it's the same thing.
Comment.
I'm pretty sure that
no,
same,
it's not.
Same people
it's
that
not.
Made it.
It's not.
It is.
Let them know.
No. Go Google it. I'm telling you right now, it's the same.
It could be the same company, but they're not going to release the same product twice.
No, but the whole...
It's not the same thing.
All right. We could agree to disagree there. Lunchables turkey cheese sandwich versus the pizza one.
Ooh, pizza. You know, I've had some bad pieces of the turkey ham.
Uh-huh.
I've had some bad pieces of that. You know, and then I just didn't eat it.
Yeah, the pizza one, it's hard to screw up.
Yeah. There was a time where I was just eating the crackers and cheese, and I just throw away the...
I mean, sometimes I'm just eating the crackers straight up.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because some of that cheese is questionable sometimes.
I like that cheese.
The best part of Lunchable is the Reese's Cup. I know you can't have it, though.
I never got to eat it.
Okay, so moving on to the next part of the podcast, I want to talk about some world news that's going on right now.
Ooh.
So, this is kind of some happy news. All right, so we have a husband and wife who just so happened to be born on the exact same day, the exact same year.
What?
But it gets crazier. They then have a pair of twins born on the same day they were both born.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's not real.
It is real.
That's not real.
It is real.
That is ridiculous.
Hey, this is no longer the debate thing. All right, I'm telling you facts.
No. I'm just saying. That is crazy.
Yeah.
Husband and wife born on the same day of the same year, and then they come together and they have twins born on the same day and the same year as their parents that were born on the same day and same year.
Right. But they weren't born on the same year as their parents. Just making that clear for the people out there that didn't catch that.
Okay.
Okay. Also, moving on, I want to talk about everyone loves Post Malone. All right. We all love Post Malone. Great guy.
Posty.
Amazing, talented singer. He just was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he talked about one of the biggest purchases he made in his life. Ooh. And you know the game Magic the Gathering?
Yeah.
The card game.
Yeah.
Post Malone bought a one-of-one card that's in the game for $2 million.
What?
$2 million for a one-of-one card.
A card.
So basically what happened is Magic the Gathering has over 50,000 unique cards.
Okay.
Now, Magic the Gathering is one of the most popular card games. You know, it's amongst Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, all those. And they had a collab with Lord of the Rings. Okay. Oh. And so for everyone who knows Lord of the Rings, Frodo holds the ring, right? And the ring, there's only one ring. Right. Everyone wants the ring. It's the all-powerful ring.
Yeah.
Now, Magic the Gathering came out with a one-of-one card that is identical to the ring.
Really?
As a Lord of the Rings collab. So what happened was there was this guy that worked at Costco, and one day after work, he went to a game store. And he went to the game store, started opening up some packs of Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
And what do you know? He ends up pulling the one-of-one ring card.
Oh, my God.
Post Malone then catches wind that, you know, the card's out there.
Right,
someone's
right,
out
right.
there and wants to sell it. And this guy ended up selling the card for $2 million to Post Malone.
Oh,
prior to that, he was working a 9-to-5 job at Costco.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how your life can change just from one decision to going to buy a deck of cards.
That is insane. That kind of gave me goosebumps. Like, there's only one of that card, and he got it.
I know. I was trying to look up, like, what makes that card so special.
Yeah.
And I really didn't understand the rules of the game. But I imagine, right, if it's like the movie Lord of the Rings.
Right.
It is a very overpowered card, which I hope so, right? $2 million, it better be overpowered.
Yeah.
But when I started thinking about it, right, we see Logan Paul buying Charizards for hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? And keep in mind, Charizards, there's more than one.
Yeah.
Right? So for this card to be, a one of one, there's not too many cards in circulation right now that is a one of one of any universe, right?
Yeah.
Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, like there's no such thing, right?
Right.
So I get it. You know, $2 million maybe is the right price, but I would never pay that.
Did they get it graded?
I believe so. It was graded.
Okay. I hope it's a 10.
I hope so too.
Because that's crazy if it's not. It's a one of one and they don't make it a 10.
Well, it's not that. It has nothing to do with the rarity, right? It has to do with how well the guy took care of the card. So if he didn't do a good job taking care of it prior to getting graded, it could be like a 7 or
but
a 6.
But it also could be the way they printed it.
That's fair.
Right. It could be the manufacturer's
right.
mess
but
up.
I think if that's the case,
yeah.
I think it's different how they would grade it.
Oh.
Because it's just one of one. If they can look at it and be like, oh, this is like a technical error and not a damage.
Oh,
you know
I see
what
you're
mean?
Saying. Yeah.
They grade off of comparing them to other ones.
I see. But this There's is just no a one ones. Of one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So also with crazy news within the last 2 days, India has just landed on the moon.
Oh.
They were able to, you know, land their shuttle on the moon.
Like humans.
I don't know.
Or was it like a rover, maybe?
It's a machine.
Oh, a rover, okay.
I don't want to get into I'll save it. I'll tell you this another time on the podcast.
Yeah.
But long story short, many people think it's fake.
Oh.
But I won't show you the footage now. I'll save it for another time.
Okay.
But there may be a discussion once I do more research regarding this.
Interesting.
As of right now, we are told that they went to the moon.
Yeah.
They're on the moon.
Okay.
They're doing research. They're trying to figure out ways to have a moon base. But there's a lot of questionable things about that. And we will leave that up for debate in the comments, guys. Comment if you feel like India landed on the moon and what are your thoughts on that. There's a lot of videos out there. I'm not saying I believe it,
right.
the videos. But I'm just saying there's some things out there that look a little suspicious. But hey, it's all good.
It's all good.
We all just trying to live out there on the moon, you know?
We just trying to survive.
If one of us makes it, we all make it.
Yeah.
right? Think about it. One step for man, one whatever.
I don't know the saying.
Anyways.
Okay, so moving on. I got some crazy news, too. There's been a lot of problems with stalkers recently.
Oh, gosh.
So, I don't know if you heard, but Drew Barrymore was in, I think, New York.
And I saw that.
Yeah, she was hosting an event.
Yeah.
And this guy, like, came up, tried to come up on stage, and it was like, Drew Barrymore, like, my name is this. You know me. You know who I am.
Right.
And I need to see you while you're in New York. And, like, they escorted Drew Barrymore off stage, and then everything was okay after that. But shortly after, I guess the same guy was caught riding his bike through New York, trying to, like, pulling into people's driveways, random people's driveways, trying to figure out if it's Drew Barrymore's house.
What?
Yeah. But he ended up finding her house. Like, he found it doing that. And right when he got onto her property, he was arrested.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't the guy, like, 92 years old, too?
No, I don't think he was that old.
Oh, I don't know why I got 92 years old.
He was a little bit older, but I don't think he was that old.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's just so weird that I remember that clip at her show went kind of viral.
Yeah.
And then they caught him at her house after that.
Wow.
Yeah. But then also what's scary is Big Sean and Janae Aiko also have filed the restraining order against like a fan that they call creepy, has been like coming to their shows, coming to every like concert, and has, and Janae Aiko said this, like she, that the person like snuck into their house, like got onto the property, like in the house.
Uh-huh.
So now they're filing a restraining order.
Wow.
But isn't that it's kind of scary how so many celebrities are having this issue right now.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's, I don't know.
You know what? The one thing that I want to talk about is these celebrities that have millions of dollars, right? They can afford security.
Yeah.
But like, think about TikTokers out there that have millions of followers, right?
Right.
Or social media stars that have millions of followers. That doesn't mean they have millions of dollars.
Exactly.
Right. And nor could they afford to have security, right?
Right.
And some of these people have bigger influences than maybe a celebrity that has millions of dollars.
Yeah.
That has security.
Very true.
So that's why it's scary. You know, people need to, you know, take stalking seriously and make it a point to, like, you know, if you see something suspicious, you better like call it out, because you never know.
Yeah, you really never
know. Some people don't have the security.
Yeah. And you never know what people are capable of.
Yeah. You never want to underestimate anyone, because some people are freaking crazy.
Freaking nuts, dude. And that's all the world news I got today.
I also want to bring up one thing that I think is really cool that Daniel got to experience. You got to experience Club 33 at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
Club 33, guys, just so everyone understands, Club 33 is one of the most exclusive clubs at Disneyland. It's above Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's not directly above it, but it's in that area, yeah.
So just to put things in perspective, it's a 100-year wait list. Once you get into Club 33, you're a member for life, for the rest of your life, for the kids, your grandkids, their grandkids. They're in Club 33 for the rest of their lives. And
it's like your lineage.
Right. And what's crazy is when Kobe Bryant was alive, he requested to go to Club 33, and he was denied. That's how exclusive it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so you went, was it last week you went to Club 33?
I think it was a week and a half ago, week and a half.
So give us the rundown. You know, what is it like? You approach the door,
so
what happens?
What happens is, okay, there's this door. It's just like a normal looking door.
Okay.
And then above it, you see in the glass, it's like 33, right?
Yeah.
And what you do is you ring the doorbell. Now, a person will come to answer the door and like ask you like if you're a member, everything, and if you're not, they'll just turn you away and they'll just close the door on you. So what happened was, we were with a member, so we were taken up, and right when you go in, they're like, obviously super crazy nice customer service. Okay. They're like above and beyond,
better than Disneyland workers, like regular Disneyland workers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so you go in and there's like this spiral staircase right when you walk in.
Uh-huh.
And that's like the staircase to the restaurant. So once you go up the staircase, oh, okay, I need to talk about this too. We went up the staircase.
Yeah.
And we went to the bathrooms. Now, you are not allowed to take any pictures in the bathrooms. You can't take a selfie in the mirror. You can't do anything in the bathroom.
They told you that?
That's like, I think that's a rule there.
But they didn't tell you directly.
They didn't tell me, but one of my friends that works at Disneyland, so she said, don't take any pictures in the bathroom, because it's like, you can't. It's like against the rules.
Okay.
But let me tell you something about that bathroom. That bathroom is insane. Okay. You walk in, super nice red carpets on the ground. I think they were red. It might have been like maroon. Okay. And there's like, it's like a nice stall, like actual big room. That's your stall. And there's like a urinal. But when you go to the sink, okay, they have the nicest napkins to dry your hands. And they also have complimentary mouthwash, bottled mouthwash that you could just
like
take.
Like Listerine?
No, it's like, I forgot what it's called. So I took some.
So explain to me these napkins. What made them so special? Like, or give us a visual of what is equivalent to like the napkin quality.
Dude, they're better than the napkins you eat with. Like they're just a step below like the cloth napkins that you eat with fine dining.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They're legit. And there's just like a stack of them.
So it's like a dispenser?
No. It's just like a pile of them.
Like, what do you do when you're done with it?
You just throw it away.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if they clean them.
No. They're not that durable. They're not that durable. But they're up there.
Wow.
Like, they're really nice. Like, nice, like velvety touch to it.
Wow, that is a cool story.
Yeah. So then when we get inside the main building,
yeah,
you have like your merch and everything to the right, Club 33 merch.
Uh-huh.
And now I heard that merch gets switched out every month.
Okay.
So I think it's exclusive to that month. And when I went, there was like a cool backpack. There was some hats, like a shirt. There was golf balls.
Wow.
I did not get the golf balls. There was a deck of cards. My friend got the deck of cards. But then you go. Okay. So like I heard that there's two dining rooms. Okay. There's one on the right side where if you're not with a member, that's where you eat.
Okay.
Like if a member just got you in and they're not with you, that's where you go. But then when you're with a member, you get to go to like the left side, which is like the lounge area, right?
Uh-huh.
And this area, so nice.
Really?
Okay. So there's a bunch of like booths and tables and there's a bar. But these seats that you're sitting in,
yeah,
are insane. They're so comfortable.
So give us like a visual. Like, are we talking like...
Like a nice little
like
round...
this chair that we're in right now, like a very like comfy office chair? Or are we...
No. It's like a love seat. Like a nice little round love seat for everybody.
Wow.
Okay, so then you get like, we got this menu, but it wasn't the full menu. I was told that there's like another menu that's only, I think, Tuesday through Sunday, but we were there on Monday, so it wasn't available.
Okay.
But we got the burger, and let me tell you something about this burger, man. This burger is something like you've never had before.
Really?
Yeah, it is so good. The cheese, I don't know, I forgot what kind of cheese they used, but it was not like your like Kraft American cheese.
Uh-huh.
It was like a nice, soft, velvety cheese.
So when you looked at the burger, how was it cooked? Was it like medium
rare? Oh, I got
it
medium rare. And it was perfect.
Every bite was perfect, you would say?
Dude, I ate that thing so fast. And you know me, I eat fast.
No, I know you do.
And I ate that thing like, it was a big burger. I probably ate it in like 6 bites.
So how was the fries? What sides did it come with?
Okay, it did come with fries. Now the fries, I thought they were pretty standard.
Were they more like McDonald's fries or were they like
no,
Chick-fil-A fries? Or
they
how?
Were like, okay, they were like McDonald's fries.
Yeah.
But every single one was crispy and every single one had a good amount of seasoning on it.
Oh.
Yeah, so it wasn't like... bad fries.
So what would you rate Club 33 restaurant compared to like the best restaurant you've ever ate at in your life?
Yeah.
Compared to the worst restaurant. Like, where does it fall? If 10 is the best restaurant you've ever had.
Right.
And 1 is, you know, the worst.
I give it a... Now, just going off of... I only ate a burger.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't get like their steak or anything because that wasn't available. But I was recommended the burger. I was told that was like one of the best things there.
Yeah.
So I rate it a solid 9.3.
Okay, so it's very high.
Yeah, it's pretty high. Like, that was probably one of the better burgers I've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, did you guys have any other things, like appetizers or anything prior to the burger, or you just had the burger, that's it?
We just had the burger.
All your friends had the burger too, or?
Yeah.
Everyone had the burger?
Everyone had the burger because they were recommending it so much.
Wow.
It was just that good of a burger.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I know some people got some drinks from the bar and they said the drinks were phenomenal. Like some of the best bar cocktails they've ever had.
So Is the restaurant big? Is it small?
You know, it's actually not that big. It's really not. It's, I don't know what to compare it to. It's like the size of a regular like Korean barbecue restaurant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's not crazy big. It's pretty small.
That's cool.
And it was also not very crowded. It's usually pretty crowded to get in.
Uh-huh.
Like people are waiting usually.
The members are waiting?
Yeah, the members are waiting.
Oh, wow.
But we were able to get in.
Wow. That's crazy. That's cool.
Okay, moving on. I thought we'd get into this a little early. Scary story time.
Oh, gosh.
Scary freaking story time.
I just feel like there's so many people out there that when it gets to this part of the podcast, they're like turning on the lights in their house.
So this is why you should never read the books that your teachers give you.
Well, luckily for me, I never read the books my teachers gave me.
So there was a kid named Chris, and he lived in a small town. And this kind of town was like everybody knows everybody. It was very small, and all the kids went to the same school. And every year after a student finishes the grade, a teacher will give you a set of books to read over the summer for the next year. So every year, each teacher was providing each and every student with new books every summer. And Chris was going from the 10th grade to 11th grade. And everybody in that school usually struggled in the 11th grade, but really nobody knew why. But Chris was the top performing student in his entire class, and he found out that the next school year he would have a teacher named Miss Matthews, and she was like the teacher that everybody hated because she was really mean and nobody liked her. But luckily he had his friends in the same class, so at least they would go through it together. So Chris went to go pick up his books from Miss Matthews, and all Miss Matthews said to him was, "I hope you're the top student next year, and make sure to read the books 1 through 3 in that order."
Dude, some teachers are just so like toxic and mean.
Yeah, so even though Chris was the top of his class, he still wanted to enjoy his summer and hang out with his friends. So he called his friend Luke, but out of nowhere, Luke got super sick and he didn't know why. Nobody knew why, but they had to take him to the hospital. So instead, Chris had to hang out with his friend Ricky. And after a month goes by, Chris finished reading the first book of the summer, but still wanted to hang out with his friends. So he called up Ricky, but this time Ricky was the one that was sick and Luke was feeling better. And as another month goes by, Chris reads book 2. But as the school year gets closer and closer, more students seem to be getting sick. Like a lot of kids are going to the hospital, but parents think that they're just faking it because they don't want to go to school.
So all these kids are just all getting sick out of nowhere.
Yeah, and literally nobody knew what was going on. But since the school year was starting so quickly, Chris had to read book 3. So when he opened the book, he noticed that in the front page, there was a note. And all the note said was, "Good luck with this one." And it was signed by Miss Matthews. And he obviously thought this was kind of weird, but he had to read the book. So he just read it anyways. But just a week before the school year started, he started to feel a little funny and he got sick, just like Ricky and Luke and all the other kids in his class did. So Chris decided to call Luke and asked him, "What book did you read first?" And Luke told him that he read number 3 first because he didn't really care about what order he read them in. And then he decided to call Ricky and he said, "What order did you read the books?" And Ricky told him, "I went 2, 3, and then I read 1. And after that, Chris knew that there was something wrong with book 3. So because Chris got so sick, he lost his spot as top performing student in his class. But when he came back, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know if he should talk to Miss Matthews, so he decided to go straight to the janitor's office because he knew that the janitor could look at the security cameras and each classroom had a security camera in them. So he went to the janitor and asked him if he could see the footage from the previous year and see the last few days of the school year to see if Miss Matthews did anything to the books. And when he looked at the security footage, he saw Miss Matthews going through the books with a syringe and squirting something inside each book, and all the books were book 3.
So whatever was in the syringe was making all these kids sick.
Yeah, and she knew that since Chris was such a high-performing student, he would read the books in the order she tells him to. So if he read 3 towards the start of the school year, he was gonna lose his spot as top student. But not only did she want to ruin his life, she tried to ruin everyone's life by making them sick. So after Chris found this out, he told the police, and the police were able to test the books, and they found that there was poison in the books. Because you know how books, right? In the seams of the books, there's like lace that keeps all the pages together.
Yeah, pretty much every book has it.
Right, so she would squirt the poison into the seams so it would soak the lace and it would just stay in the laces as they're reading.
Gosh, that's crazy.
Right?
That's unbelievable.
So she was poisoning them. And that's why all the kids would suffer, like struggle in 11th grade at that school.
Wow, that's why like schools got to do a better job sometimes, like the vetting process of figuring out who they're hiring.
Right.
Or if like figuring out, like say if someone was good at one time, right? Yeah. And all of a sudden they're like mentally unstable now, you got to be on that. You know, you can't just like let that continue to happen. Right. You have to investigate that.
Especially because some teachers are on like a crazy power trip, right? So they just want to like assert kind of like a feeling of dominance over the kids.
Yeah, but poisoning is just a whole, that's like psycho, obviously no, it's psychopathic right. Behavior. I just can't believe that. That's crazy.
It's kind of scary. That's why I don't
it's
even,
not kind
I don't,
of
scary. I don't read.
It's
I don't,
not kind of scary.
It's
very
scary. Yeah. You know, that's why I didn't read. You know what you use? Spark Notes.
Oh, gosh. Kids, still read your books. I highly doubt this will happen to anyone else, right?
No, yeah, read your books.
Read your books.
Yeah.
Don't.
It's good to read your books in school.
This is like one in a million chance.
Yeah, this is, the chances of this happening is crazy.
And at the end of the day, Dan and I were not physically at the school. Who knows what really happened?
Yeah.
But crazy story.
So on to the next thing I want to talk about. I know I've talked about this before, but I've talked about how kids' books could be really bad for kids and they teach really bad lessons, like the Rainbow Fish.
Yeah, I really didn't catch on right away until I started looking back at the Rainbow Fish and all the things you talked about. And it actually is a bad message to teach kids that.
So the kids' book, The Giving Tree, is actually one of the most disturbing books to ever read to kids, and it's actually ruining some kids' lives.
How is that book bad?
So this book is actually voted one of the worst books to ever read to a child, because when you really think about it, it follows a boy who finds a tree that he loves to play games with, loves to eat her apples, and just hang out with.
Wait, why is everyone reading that if it's rated one of the worst?
So just wait. As time goes on, the kid decides that he wants to get money instead of playing with the tree. So he decides to take all the apples from the tree and sell them for money. And then a few years later, he wants a house, so he decides to cut the branches off the tree to build his family a house. And then years after that, the man comes back and he says, I want a boat because I want to go sail off to somewhere. So he completely cuts the tree down and takes the logs and builds a boat. And at this point, the tree is really sad because all it is just a stump now. And then the man comes back as an old man, and all he does is use the stump as a chair. But when you really think about it, this teaches kids that they can take everything from people, but not give anything back. And it also teaches them that they could take everything from people, even if it hurts the other person, and nothing bad will happen.
It's literally teaching kids to be toxic and be selfish.
Right. That's exactly what the message is. Even though in the book, the tree is like, oh, take my apples. It's okay. Right? It's still hurting the tree. Like, the tree is hurting even though it's giving.
But you see that, right?
And you see that.
Yeah.
You see it like it's
physically
like,
hurting.
Well, yeah, you're literally pulling pieces of the tree, right?
Yeah.
It's like how a mother would be like sacrificing so much for a child. Even though it could be detrimental to the mom is going to be like happy to help, but it still hurts.
Right.
And what's crazy about this in the book prefaces the tree is a her. So it's like you're taking from her and you're like hurting her. And you can just go and come as you please.
It's toxic.
Yeah. It's really bad.
Yeah.
It's actually voted to be one of the worst.
It's amazing how, like, over time, I see these books so differently than I remember them as kids. But, yeah, it's horrible.
Okay, so I know Leia's not here this week, but I thought I would do Whose Side Are You On today?
Leia's not physically in the room, but she's here in the house. But she's busy doing extra work for her school. She works for a school trying to help kids. And she's working on the weekend at home, so that's what she's doing.
Okay, so am I wrong for switching to regular milk to prove my lactose intolerant roommate keeps stealing from me?
Oh, this sounds like a good one.
So me and two other guys share an apartment together, and we split all the bills. The only thing we don't split costs on is groceries. Everyone's in charge of buying their own food, and we don't touch whatever doesn't belong to us in the fridge. We put our names on everything so no one gets mixed up. The issue has been going on almost a year, and I'm sick of it. One of my roommates, R, keep stealing my food. I get home from work and containers with my leftovers are sometimes missing and they have my name written on it, or my stuff finishes too quick. My gallon of milk, for example, I buy almond milk because I like the taste, but it seems to finish after a week even though I've only drank once or twice. I confronted R about this lots of times and that's caused a lot of arguments. He outright denies it and tells me I'm crazy even though it's so obvious. My other roommate and I carpool together because we both work the same early morning shifts around the same area, so I know it's not him. It's always after we get back home and R's already left for work that I notice my food's gone. My roommates also have a similar problem, but not as often as I do. I'm guessing because R doesn't like what he buys. The funny thing is, R buys a lot of food for himself and is even more stingy about his food. He will literally point out what's his when he comes back from grocery shopping and tell us not to touch it. Last week, my milk was nearly empty again and I got fed up. I went to the liquor store and bought regular dairy milk. I drank what was left of my almond milk and refilled the gallon with the one I bought. This was to catch slash prove R is the one stealing since he's lactose intolerant. The next day, Saturday, we got back from work and R is pissed. He's yelling at me that he was stuck in the bathroom for 40 minutes with diarrhea because of my milk. He was using it to make a shake. I only responded with, so then you're the one who's been stealing. He freaking exploded. Yeah, he admitted he was sometimes drinking my milk and eating my food, but he was more mad that I switched milks than the fact that he was caught. I told him I wouldn't have done that if he'd just stopped taking my stuff from the fridge or at least told the truth instead of trying to make it seem like I was the one making it up. My roommate backed me up and thought it was kind of funny. He got payback for stealing from us. It's a little tense right now, and my roommate told me that R is trying to convince him to agree to kick me out. Little does he know, we're both looking to move somewhere else together because we are sick of his behavior. I told some buddies what happened, and a few think that I was wrong for that. I feel like I'm not in the wrong here. He was taking my food and not owning up to it, and I wanted to prove it. Does that make me the one that's wrong?
No.
That is genius, though.
So did they know that R have like a lactose intolerant issue, like dairy issue?
They knew he was lactose intolerant. But that's why that was like the test.
Yeah.
They're going to fill the gallon with regular milk to see if he was truly drinking it.
That seems like it should be like an episode on a sitcom. Like, that's such a funny scenario.
Right? But see, like, that was like, it's so sneaky.
Yeah.
And it's really bad that he didn't own up to the fact that he was stealing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Especially if they agreed on that being the one thing they don't split.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's in charge of their own food and groceries. You really shouldn't be stealing from anybody.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't be stealing in general, right?
Right.
Whatever, like, whatever it may be. I just think it's so funny that this guy literally sat on the toilet, right?
Yeah.
Pooping his brains out.
Right.
Comes outside to complain, like, why did you put, like, real dairy in your milk?
Right.
R, do better.
Do better.
You know good. No good.
Okay, so moving on. This is probably some of the saddest news I've heard, but you know this meme, right? Like, you've seen this before.
Yeah, like, who doesn't know that one?
So for those who don't know, this dog actually has a name, and its name is Cheems, and he's a Shiba Inu who went viral for that one look, the meme we all know, and people have been using it all the time. But sadly, after 12 years, Cheems has passed away and lost his battle to cancer. But this is what Cheems' owner had to say after his passing. She doesn't want anyone to be sad, but instead remember that all the joy Cheems has brought to the world, and she said that he brought so much joy to people, but now his mission is completed, and she believes he is running free in the sky, making new friends.
Cheems will never be forgotten.
Dude, rest in peace, Cheems.
He brought a lot of joy to the world. So many text messages, so many Twitter posts, so many, you name it. He's been everywhere.
Dude, that was kind of like sad what the owner was saying.
That was sad.
Oh, it didn't make me.
Do you know what would happen if you died alone in your house with your pet inside? Do you know what your pet would do to you? So I saw a podcast with Theo Von where he talks to a real life coroner who actually specializes in finding dead people at their homes.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So what the coroner said, that every case that involved a dead person in a house with a cat, no matter how much the cat loved the owner, no matter how much the owner loved the cat would always decapitate the owner and eat the head, because the cat will go into survival mode. And within the first 24 hours of the owner being dead, the cat will decapitate the head and eat up to the chest.
Wait, what do dogs do then?
So get this, smaller dogs like wiener dogs and terriers will also eat their owner's heads and eat their owner within the first 24 hours. But bigger dogs like labs will never eat their owners. Even if they're stuck in the house for months, they will never eat the owner. But medium-sized dogs will tend to try to wait as long as they can without food before they eat the owners, but eventually within a couple days they will then eat their owners too. It ultimately comes down to like the nature of animals and their survival mechanism that kicks in, and that's why it happens.
That's actually really scary.
Your dog loves you, right? Comes home, licks you, right? But that same tongue that licks you to say hello will also lick you to say goodbye.
The cat is, it will decapitate you. I can't even wrap my head around how a cat would even go about decapitating someone.
It must start from the neck.
It has to, because that would just be crazy.
He said in some cases that it would actually eat, you know, up to the heart. Eat the whole head and to the heart.
What?
In 24 hours.
In 24 hours?
Yeah.
See, that's just crazy.
That's a lot of biting. I just wonder at what point do they realize, oh, this, like, my owner's dead, it's time to eat.
Within 24 hours? That's crazy that even if I have other food in the house, I'm going to eat the owner?
I'm sure within the 24 hours, it'll eat whatever food's in the bowl before.
But that's crazy.
I know, it's crazy.
All right, guys, you've made it this far on the podcast. Thank you so much for listening and watching. If you're new to the channel, please smash the subscribe button, hit the like button. Like I said, if this video gets 3,000 likes, we'll be giving away one of these hot toys to you guys. All you have to do is comment what you like about the show, comment a suggestion, but also let us know which hot toy you would like us to get for you, and we'll pick one of you guys. Also, we'll comment what you guys want us to talk about next week. We'll see you guys tomorrow on TikTok, and we'll see you guys next Sunday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube.
We'll see you on the TikTok.
God bless you guys. See ya.
Love ya.